Chapter 16 Earth Mount Shasta Sanctuary, Northern California. Mary Courtwright left behind her work crew under the guidance of her chief assistant. At Michael's summons, she carefully made her way along a trodden path on the steep slope. Eventually, she came to a ladder that led up to a constructed walkway, offering an easier route to the entrance into Mount Shasta's sanctuary. Michael's brief words played through her mind. A messenger has arrived to personally meet the three families. He brings good news about Leroy and Miranda. Please go to the lookout room, where he waits, while I go contact the others. Her footsteps clopped along the rough-hewn wooden catwalk that had been cleverly secured right into the mountainside. At first, she frowned to contemplate this latest ripple in their circumstances and leaned into her stride. Then the old habit fell away, shrugged off like a coat of many cares. Mary straightened to inhale rarefied air, rich with alpine scent. She recalled how, in times past, she would leap to worst-case eventualities. One memory was encapsulated in a momentary vision of Opal as a small child. Mary had heard her song drift down from upstairs and then panicked when she realized she hadn't locked the doors that led to their bedroom balcony. In a terrified rush, she had run up the stairs, stopped at the open bedroom door, and breathed once again when she saw Opal safe. The child, singing an old ballad, was throwing dandelions one by one over the railing. Reflections drifted through her memory. She reached the point where the catwalk abutted a high entrance upon the sanctuary's stone ledge. As she entered, the image of Leroy Lindholm appeared suddenly in her thoughts, so clear that his countenance could almost be taken for an etheric projection. He who had for so long loved Opal, her vanished daughter, now had become as dear as if he were her own son. Mary squinted in dim light in an attempt to see down the passageway. She approached an open doorway that led into the lookout room and stopped in a pool of light cast through the room's unglazed windows. A man stood motionless, gazing out into the late afternoon sky beyond the opening. From behind, he appeared shadowy. Mary saw only the outline of his cap and clothing illuminated in sunlit gold. An impressionist's vision. She felt it was rude to just stand gawking, her presence unknown to him. But at that moment, he moved to turn, just slightly. As the light fell on his features, Mary realized he had been aware of her after all. He continued turning and faced her with his back to the sunlight.
"Hello, Mary. My name is Branicor de Lamartine."
He reached out both hands to take hers in greeting.
"I stood here, seeing a changed world from this vantage, arriving at full recognition of what this sanctuary is for you, and marveling at all you have been through."
He released her hands as Mary took a calming breath.
"The letter?" she said then. You wrote the letter to us after Opal's disappearance. You are Branicor?"
"A facsimile of Branicor. Lamartinians do not need corporeal bodies. To prevent confusion when we visit other dimensions and worlds, we do animate a representation.
In this case, I have temporarily incarnated in a form similar to one I had during a lifetime as a Zen monk on your world long ago. With that understanding, yes, I was the letter writer. He looked toward the doorway.
And it is a great honor to have this visit with each of you.
Mary turned to see that Edward, Kevin, and Michael had arrived, and close behind were Sylvia and Christiane. While Mary watched Branagor step forward into the pool of light as it fell in the dim passageway and greet each by name as he had greeted her, momentarily holding each of their hands in his. His words replayed in her mind.
He is other than human, but one would not know by looking. His hands were warm in mine.
Mary's sight was fixed on Branagor. He glowed in the light. In a blink, he faded and became insubstantial, as though a mirage of his form remained in the air, almost like mist. Yet the others apparently didn't witness this, for their interactions continued unbroken. Still another moment passed. Branagor regained substantiality in Mary's sight. The group had turned, each one, to move toward her. Each of them appeared normal to her.
Opal, did you indeed leave your body behind? Raise up into another dimension as we have been told? And do you, dear one, continue to help us from there?
Mary watched Christiane turn and walk to a nearby shelf, from which she took a blanket and then spread it smooth on the carpeted floor. Others moved aside to accommodate her. Edward and Kevin reached for cushions and placed them in a circle on the blanket. Deep violet rose light streamed through the window upon those sitting in the circle, hands joined in silence prior to Branagor's spoken words. Kevin Courtright peered toward Branagor from beneath his lowered lids. Kevin's mind touched the memory of leaving his restless students under the direction of Jackie, Miranda's capable sister, to finish their last lesson of the day. He had walked at a pace to keep up with Michael, who had offered only spare words of summons and avoided Kevin's questions. They had approached the high room's doorway. Kevin had paused to see Mary's glow, as if she had taken on light, waning towards sunset from beyond the window. He was unable to discern much of their messenger's features, for the man had stepped toward them with his hands outstretched, his back to the light. And then the messenger moved into a beam cast aslant.
More vital than any living being I've ever seen. Not larger than life, yet with such apparent, intense energy that his eyes scintillated. This Branagor de Lamartine, the letter writer of years ago? Mentor of Miranda in another realm?
Kevin's companions released his hands. He opened his eyes and heard Branagor inhale deeply.
Zamora?
Mary spoke the lyrical name during a pause in Branagor's narrative.
I don't recall hearing anything at all about this other planet, certainly not from Miranda.
Do you, Kevin? He shook his head.
Miranda knew in brief about Zamora and Sapphire,
replied Branagor.
However, Zamora's role in conjunction with Earth was our focus this morning, when the three of us met on the crags after the Council of the Elves. Once Miranda comprehended the relationship of sapphire with opal, the parallels between the two planets, most important, the potential for transformation through their interconnectedness, there was an auspicious recognition, and not only for Miranda. "Leroy was right there with her," Edward said, and leaned forward as Branicore nodded. "They are so in tune with one another, no doubt he shared her recognition." "That is correct," Branicore said. "It was within a matter of moments that they agreed to make the shift to Zamora for the reasons I have just shared." "To what ends?" Edward reached for Christian's hand, for there were tears trailing down his wife's cheeks.
"How can we lose her again?" she murmured.
"Lose? I do not have far sight, my friends. Yet as a messenger from the Six Songs of Wisdom School in Lamartine of star system Tabor, I assure you that you have not lost Miranda and Leroy. In its relationship with Earth, Zamora is just as present here in the true nature of reality as the elves are present right here with you." "Though unseen," Kevin confirmed. "You have seen the elves, yes, I know, when they have chosen to be seen. Think about the vast array of belief systems throughout earthly history that refer to or intimate the existence of invisible beings. Many glorious works of art were created because gifted individuals were granted visions of the unseen. Put another way, in the words of one of your great teachers, many of these beings exist in our midst, in the very place where we now sit and breathe. The only reason we don't see one another and don't interfere in one another's lives is that we lack the common causal connections that would produce mutual perception. My own reasons for assuming this role as messenger, for taking form here with you, are not only due to Miranda's wish for you to know why she and Leroy have not yet returned, but more. Your experiences, your growth, and your insights will assist in aligning the two parallels of Zamora and Earth, will support and impel both together to shift into a higher octave and to catalyze the second verse to shift into the third verse. You are given energy from the earth, yet the process is not one way. You are also energy transformers for earth. Your interchanges throughout unusual circumstances have been significant, as they have for your two young people who, though young, have become adepts. They have taken beyond going beyond to Zamora. You have been gifted with beyond going beyond here, along with other earthly evolutionary centers. Your alignment through the text will assist in the alignment of Zamora's future with Earth's.